and are just so thankful that you are here waiting on us to come. Every heart, every person, whether we're seeking or not, maybe we don't know that you love us and you care and you're drawing us this morning, and we thank you for that. So we just pray, touch each heart as we open your word. Thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I asked Ryan to put our scripture up here. Just want to look at the 103rd Psalm a little bit this morning, a few verses. And he's got it on the wall there, the handwriting on the wall. This is life. The handwriting that we read about in Daniel, it brought death, judgment. This is a lifter-upper. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's just repeat those first two verses together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Wow, what a blessing that we can come together like this. That we still have this freedom. And you know, it's up to us to keep asking the Lord and bringing him into the picture. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He's not just wanting lip service. I mean, he'll take whatever he can get many times, you know. But he wants to draw us from the inner core of our being, our soul. We understand to be our mind, our will, and our emotions. But there, when we're born again, we have his spirit. The inner core of us is his spirit. When he looks at us, he doesn't see the outward. He sees our inner being, this very spirit that he put within us. He sees Jesus. We may not always think so, may not understand it that way. But that's who he's looking on, and he's looking and watching to bless us, every one of us. We can question that sometimes, but you know, because he says then, forget not all his benefits. How often it is that we remember the negative, but we kind of forget about the benefits. This is kind of ordinary and maybe kind of a poor illustration, but I've thought about it already. You know, there's times when you're driving through town, traffic lights, and it seems like you're hitting every one of them red and kind of, wow, I wanted to get through here and get where we're going, and all red lights. And then I got to thinking one day, you know, there are times when they're all green too. We need to remember that. We do hit green lights. And really, when you think about that, why do we call them stop lights? They're go lights. If we look at the other side of things, and really that's kind of about life. You know, when we don't forget his benefits, there's so many. We can't begin to name them all. Just the freedom that we enjoy and each other, the fellowship that we enjoy, one another, Jesus in our hearts together. It's just, you know, we can name a lot of things that, it's like I remember Watchman Nee, a Chinese writer one time, he said, what you need, you don't need more kindness, you don't need more patience, you just need more Jesus. Well, that kind of sounds like a cliche, but really, the Word is a person that wants to come alongside, and not only alongside, but he has the ability to get within. He's in our hearts. We don't always stop to realize that. Anyway, I got to watch the time here. Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all your diseases, you know. It's interesting, it's in that sequence. Because not all disease, sickness, and all these things, not always from sin, of course. But see, it can be. Sometimes when whatever we've got going on, we need to ask the Lord two things. We need to ask, Lord, is there a reason why this has come? And how do you want to heal me? Because sometimes he can do it miraculously. Sometimes he's going to use medications. Jesus acknowledged the physicians that there's a place for them. Once in a while, I think, as I remember, a man had cancer really bad, and he said, I'm going to be healed. I'm going home to glory. Well, that's the ultimate healing. But you remember the man that they couldn't get in close to Jesus, and so they opened up the roof, let him down in front of Jesus, and the first thing Jesus said to him was, your sins are forgiven, which sounded blasphemous to the lawyers and Pharisees. But he said, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and be healed? Well, Jesus knew the real problem in that case. He needed to be forgiven. And you know, we're all in that situation. We all know that, as John wrote, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar, and the truth is not in us, because that's kind of how this fleshly man's made up. But he has forgiveness always, that we can walk in forgiveness, walk with a light heart, walk with a clear conscience. Not because we're perfect, not because we don't mess up, but because his blood continually cleanses. It's an ongoing cleansing all the time. You know, so he forgives, he heals, he redeems your life from destruction or from the pit, from a traps. And that redeeming means to buy back. So that what he's saying is he can keep us from sin and from problems if we trust him enough. But when we have failed and we feel like we've really messed up, we've destroyed, or we've lost, he is the redeemer. He is the restorer. It doesn't matter how far we've gone. Jesus is the way back. Just come to him. Just come to him in your voice, in your words. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm back. Just work things out for me. And it won't look right away. It won't look like he is right away, maybe. Sometimes he does really quickly. But he's the redeemer. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, I wondered about that. I thought about that quite a while, and I was asking the Lord, what about crown? Why a crown? What came to me was, he crowns with loving kindness and tender mercy. You don't hide a crown. If you're wearing a crown, you're not going to pull a hood up over it or put a hat on top of it. It's going to be showing. You're going to show it. You're going to manifest it. You're going to let it show, because, and so that's what he crowns us. Loving kindness, tender mercy. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Good things. He satisfies our mouth. He meets our every need, whatever that need might be. We all have different needs. He meets us individually, exactly what each one of us needs. And more than that, you know, the psalm writer in the 37th psalm says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Of course, it takes a delighting yourself in him. And then we even get not only our needs, but our desires met. And our youth will be renewed like the eagles. Well, I can tell you that at my age, I'm not getting renewed like a young physical man anymore. But I believe that my spirit is just as young, in some ways younger than it was years ago, because I've learned to know him in ways not that makes me anything special, but I just find out a lot of what I'm saying is just so true. But it isn't true for anyone until he believes it. That's the key, is to believe what he has said in his word. Take it to yourself. It's for you. Each one of us, it's for us. He's not partial. Bible's clear. He's not partial to anyone. No one stands higher than another. I like to say it this way, that The ground is level ground at the foot of the cross. We don't stand higher than another. So we just praise his name this morning. I tell you what, we have, you know, we've thought about the smoke, you know. We don't have a thing to complain about. What about all these folks that their homes are gone? All that they've, you know, even loved ones maybe. So let's pray. Let's, worship team can come up. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you. We worship you. We want to bless you. Bless you with from the depths of our heart, from our being, O Lord. We thank you and just bless the worship time, the message, Pastor Jason, and each one. Bless our hearts by your Holy Spirit filling us up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Smoky in here, and hopefully we can breathe a little bit clearer. It's good to be here again this morning. We're going through the book of Acts, and we're going to be in Acts for a while, but that's okay, because I have been enjoying going through it. And you go through things, you go through books like that, and you got to hit every single verse that comes along. So sometimes I read ahead a little bit and start to wonder why I chose the book of Acts, but this is where we are, and this is what we're doing, and this is where the Lord is leading us. So we're going to do that. We're going to finish Acts chapter 7 this morning. Acts chapter 7, starting at verse 37. Acts chapter 7, verse 37. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey but rejected. And in their hearts they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, 'Make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' They made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship. The host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, 'Did you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifices during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You also took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, images which you made to worship, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon.' Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. As the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things?'" Verse 51, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he he fell asleep. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that we can learn more from it every time that we read it. Thank you that it never changes. I thank you that it's alive and powerful. In your name we pray, amen. So if you remember what's happening, Stephen is standing up in front of the high priest and he's giving this speech, if you want to call it a speech. And the whole reason that he's there is because they have talked these people into telling false things about Stephen, claiming that he has done things that he didn't do. And you remember the last time we were talking about this, Stephen didn't stand up and try to defend himself. Stephen stood up and shared the truth. And I still really appreciate what is happening here because he's standing up and he's telling the truth. He's not trying to defend himself. He's not trying to talk bad about the people that lied against him. He's simply standing up and telling the truth. And I think there's really something that we can learn from that because there's so often in our lives that the first thing that we would like to do is to try to get back at somebody that hurt us or try to get back at somebody that may have told lies about us. But when in reality, we don't need to do that. What we really need to do is stand on the truth. If we know what the truth is, we're not afraid to stand on it, very much like what Stephen is doing right here. And as we go through this thing, you're going to see Stephen's not really making very many friends in what he's doing, at least not as far as the world is concerned. So we continue on with his talking. He's been talking about Moses. And Moses is in the wilderness for 40 years. We ended where Moses had the burning bush. God was talking to him through the burning bush. And so here we start back up. Stephen is continuing to share the gospel. Moses here, This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear." Moses is talking about Jesus. You see, everything in Scripture, and if you stop and look at it, and you stop and read, and sometimes it takes a little bit to figure it out, but everything in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter. It's all pointing to Jesus. All of it does. Everything in Scripture does, because he's the focal point of what we believe. He's the reason for what we believe. This Moses is the same. This prophet that Moses is talking about, that's going to come from his brethren, this is the same one, the same person with a capital one, with a capital O, who wrote the Ten Commandments. Because it talks about the oracle, the living oracles that were given to Moses to give to the people. These are talking about the Ten Commandments. Remember when Moses went up the mountain and God met him there and he wrote the Ten Commandments in stone. Now while Moses is gone, let me not get ahead of myself. I got another verse that I want to read first. John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." It says that the law was given through Moses. And this is what is being referred to by Stephen. The law was given through Moses, the law that we were to walk by, to live by. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See, grace and truth could never have come through the law. It was not set up that way. Grace and truth could not come through the law. The law was given by Moses. It was there for a reason. It was there for a purpose. Should it not have been given? Yeah, no, it should have been given. It needed to be given. But it was only a precursor, and it was only something that was continuing to point to Christ, the one that brought grace and truth. See, when these, it calls them the living oracles, when they were given to the people, then Moses, during the time that Moses was up on the mountain receiving these living oracles, these Ten Commandments, the people are starting to wonder where he's at. And Stephen is again pointing all of this out because nothing has changed today. Moses is up on the mountain. He doesn't come back for a while. And the people start to wonder where he's at and what's going on. Hey, Aaron, why don't you make us a golden calf? I have really struggled with understanding what these people are thinking. Because if we can remember what Don was talking about with red lights, instead of a stoplight, it's a go light. And these people have come out of Egypt. These people would remember coming out of Egypt, being delivered out of Egypt. They would remember being stuck at the Red Sea and Moses lifting up his staff and the water parting, and they walked across. However that was, they got across that sea. They would remember these things. I would think very clearly because they all experienced them. But then we get to this point where Moses goes up the mountain to talk to God, and God is giving him the Ten Commandments, and all of a sudden, for some reason, we see a red light, a stoplight. Where's Moses? Where did he go? What happened? Is he coming back? Is he gone forever? Aaron, can you make us an idol? I cannot understand why these people do this. But then I look at what we do today and I maybe start to understand just a little bit. Because we get impatient when we sit at a red light. Why do they even have red lights? We should just be able to keep going. We get impatient when we sit at a doctor's office. We get impatient when we sit waiting on a microwave to cook. How ridiculous is that? But what are we looking for? Are we looking for these stoplights? Are we looking for the go lights? The people of Israel, the children of Israel here, for some reason, Stephen is again pointing out their failure to remember, or maybe just not wanting to remember. I don't know what God has done for them and what God is continuing to do for them. And I want to just remind myself and all of us to look at your life. You know, we say we don't want to live in the past, and we don't want to live in the past. But you know what we do want to do is we do want to remember the goodness of God. We want to remember the times that God was right there with us. He always is. But there's certain times that stick in your mind. If I ask you to remember a time in your life that you knew without a doubt that God was taking care of you, you would have something pop into your mind. Why can't this happen more often? So do we live in the past? We don't want to do that. But we do want to remember. And we do want to reflect on what God has done for us and how he has blessed us and has been good to us. And not be asking for a golden calf to be built so we can worship it. Why would we want to do that? Talking about taking 3 steps forward and then 5 steps backwards. I just don't understand. Sometimes when I read that passage, especially back in the Old Testament, I really, really struggle to understand what's going through these people's head. But yet at the same time, it might just look different, but we do the same thing. I know we do the same thing. So the people here are rejecting the Ten Commandments that they haven't even seen yet. But if you fast forward, and we're going to get to it, that this is the first time that they rejected Christ. But you move forward into the New Testament, where we're going to get to later on in this chapter, and they're rejecting him again and again and again and again. The commandments, when the people asked, they both were rejected by the people. This is what I was going to preface this with. They both were rejected by the people. The commandments were rejected when the people asked for a calf to be made. And the truth was rejected when Jesus was rejected in spite of all the miracles that he accomplished. Because if you move forward into the New Testament when Jesus was walking here and he's performing miracles and this is what Stephen is sharing about, and people still rejected him because they didn't want to know the truth. They did not want to know the truth. Romans chapter 1. Verses 18 through 25. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They are turning from worshiping the Creator, the person who created them, the person that created everything that we know today, to worship what was created. And in the case of that, of what Stephen is talking about with the people of Israel, they're worshiping something created by human hands, which ultimately was created, was only able to be created because of what God had done. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. What were they thinking? Yet here Stephen is pointing this out. Why did Stephen bring this particular point up when he's talking to the high priest? Well, we can see why he did that in a little bit. But the question, one of the questions right now is, who am I serving? Or who are you serving? Because these people in the wilderness right here where Stephen is talking about are following Moses. They're serving God through what God is working through Moses. And they very quickly became discontent and wanted something built that they could see to worship. But who, what are we serving today? Who are we serving today? How easy is it for us to get distracted and turn our eyes away from Jesus, away from the Word, and away from the truth? You see, when Moses left and went up the mountain, they got distracted, away from Jesus, away from the Word, and away from the truth. And they wanted something, they were asking for something that was not truth. Hebrews chapter 8. Verses 1 through 6. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But now he has obtained more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. As we keep looking here, they're talking about building a tabernacle, and Solomon built a temple, but Jesus doesn't live in a temple built by human hands. Jesus wants to live with you and with me. He doesn't need something that we can build. He doesn't need something beautiful that we think we can create. And the only reason that we would ever be able to do anything like that is because of what he's done for us. He wants you. He wants to be able to use what you can give to him. Whatever it might be, it doesn't really matter. If he's using all of these people like we've seen in the last few weeks, he can use you. He can use me. Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is the one. He's the mediator. There's a better way than what the law was. God, the Most High, does not dwell in temples made with hands. He wants to dwell in us because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So as we continue on, Stephen, right here, as we move to verse 51, is kind of trying to think of the way to put it, because maybe he's stuck a knife in these people and calling them, telling all these things that have happened in history. And right here, I think he's just twisting it, because he starts out by saying, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." And let me tell you, if they were upset at him before, I'm pretty certain this didn't help anything at all. But you see, he wasn't trying to impress them. He didn't really care what they thought. All he cared about was sharing the truth. And it didn't matter to him, even if he was going to face death, which he was going to, he still was going to share the truth. And this is what I want to get at this morning, is are we willing to share the truth no matter what? Can we decide in our minds now, before we find ourselves in situations where we may need to share the truth? And it might not be popular. You might get made fun of. Maybe you get persecuted in certain ways. But are we still willing to stand up and share the truth like Stephen is right here? Now, it sounds a little bit harsh when he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." And really, you've done nothing different than any of your ancestors have done. Maybe sound a little bit harsh. Stephen, though, I do believe, is trying to share this in a way that people could hear. They're not going to hear it right here at all. Not going to. Stephen wasn't making any friends according to the world's standards. He was speaking truth and standing up for what he knew was right. Kind of reminded me of the parable of the wicked vine dressers. So let's just read it real quick. Matthew chapter 21. Rather than tell it, I'll read it. 21:33. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went to a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is an heir. This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. If you go back to what Stephen is saying, he says, which of the prophets in Acts chapter 7, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? So just like in the parable of the vine dressers, when they sent someone to collect and they took them and they beat them or they killed them, ran them off, whatever happened. And then this is just like what the children of Israel did. God's chosen people, the people that he chose. And they mocked him. They made fun of him and they spit on him and they killed him. In the same way that this vineyard owner thought he could send his son, that they would surely respect my son to do what they're supposed to do. But they didn't. They still killed him. This is the point that Stephen is trying to make. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become by the betrayers and murderers, whom have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. These people that are upset here, these people that Stephen is addressing, are the ones that were supposed to be keeping the law. They had been keeping the law, but when God sent his son, whom he thought surely they would respect and they would understand what was going on, and they still didn't get it. And they killed him. The beauty of this whole thing is this is exactly what God had planned. Because unless he came, unless he came, to accomplish what Leah mentioned earlier, to pay a debt, that he did not owe for me and for you. That was the whole point. This is what all of Scripture points to. This is what all of Scripture talks about. And if we miss that point, we have missed it all. Because he came for you, and he came for me. We didn't deserve it. We still don't deserve it. Because if we got what we deserved, we probably wouldn't be here. But because he lives, we can keep going. Are we willing to stand up for what's right? I feel like I've been saying this a lot lately, but I really feel like this is something that's coming. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to come around. I don't know what we're going to face. But I just know that if we can make up our mind now, to stand for what's right, when the day comes that we need to, our mind's already made up. We don't have to decide when things get difficult what we're going to do, because we've already decided. This is exactly where Stephen was. You don't forget how he got to where he is because people lied about him. It was an injustice that does not seem fair. It doesn't seem right. Should not ever happen, but it does. It did here, it still does today, and it still will again. But what are you going to do? Are you going to defend yourself? Or are you going to stand on the truth of God's word? We have a choice that we can make. We get to choose which direction we're going to go. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And in saying this, he just made him more upset. He knew he was going to go be with Jesus. He knew that's where he was headed. And at this point, I don't think he really cared what they thought, what they were going to do. It didn't matter to him. He wasn't changing what he was saying. He didn't compromise what he thought. He didn't compromise what he believed. This is what he was going to share, and he was standing on the truth. Stephen was ready. He was not afraid to meet his Creator. But when he said this, the crowd was, I think, blinded by their own anger. Because it says, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears. We don't want to hear any more of this. We are done listening to him. And ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And this is where Saul enters the picture. This is who we'll be talking about for a while, a little bit now, after this. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God. And here is where we're going to end with one more point. Calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." When he had said this, he fell asleep. He was standing on the truth. He was sharing what he knew to be right. He knew at this point, obviously, it was going to end with him being stoned. But the last thing he said was, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." Even with his last words, he was still standing strong. He was still leaving us an example that we can look at and try to follow. And I want to end with Matthew chapter 5. Verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only what do you do more? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. As Stephen is dying, the last thing he says is, "Father, don't let this sin be on them. Don't charge them with this sin." Could you do that? Would you be able to do that? People that have lied about you, they've claimed false things about you, they've got you before the high priest, you're sharing the truth, not defending yourself, and ultimately they're stoning you. And yet, through all of that, Stephen says, "Don't charge them with this sin." If there's anybody that he could have been upset at or angry with or mad at, it would have been those people. Because they weren't listening, they weren't hearing, he was sharing the truth, they didn't want to hear the truth. And just because people don't want to hear the truth doesn't mean we shouldn't still share the truth. But just to remind you to share the truth, but to share it in love. Because I think this is what Stephen was doing. They couldn't see it. They couldn't hear it. But it doesn't mean it was wrong. What are you Who are you serving? The example given to us by Stephen is quite an amazing example. There's not a lot about him in here, except that he was willing to stand for what was right. And he wasn't afraid to stand up, even in the face of certain death. Where are we? Are we there? The time doesn't seem to be that we are yet, but you never know. You never know. Can we make the decision to stand up for the truth now so that when the time comes that we actually have to stand up for what's right, we've already made that choice? Tony's going to come and sing a song. If you want to come up here and get ready. Father, thank you so much for your love this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we can learn from the example of Stephen. Lord, I pray that you would help us to know the truth, to be willing to stand on the truth, regardless of what we may face. Father, I pray that you would give us the boldness, the courage, the strength, and also the grace to be able to do that. We love you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I pray that you would guide our week and give us opportunity to stand up for what's right. In your name we pray. Amen.
Put your head in the hand of the man who steals the water. Put your head in the hand of the man who calms the sea. Take a look at yourself when you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Every time I look into the holy book, I wanna tremble. Part where I read about the carpenter clear the temple, where the buyers and the sellers were no different fellas from what we profess to be. And it hurts me more to know we're not the people we should be. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When we been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. I've known less day to sing God's grace. The hour I first believed. Put your hand in the hand on the man who steals the water. Put your hand in the hand on the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself when you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand on the man from Galilee. Put your hand in the hand on the man from Galilee.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, have a good week. Lord bless you. You can be dismissed.